Good morning. Welcome to the virtual Sunday service of the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, affectionately known as WUF. My name is Kim Transier. I use the pronouns she and her, and it is my privilege to serve as your lay leader this morning. Please check out the announcements of forthcoming WUF events, which are attached to your emailed order of service. And do please join our Zoom coffee hour at 11:30. The link to that is in that same email. I want you to know that you are welcome here. We're all local to this virtual community of conscience and compassion. No matter where you are, how you look, how you speak, or whom you love, you are welcome here. Whether you join us today feeling exhausted by worry or anger or the heat, you are welcome here. If you come feeling inspired by the beauty of a summer morning, you are welcome here. While our minister, the Reverend Tracy Springberry, is away for the summer, most of our speakers are members of our congregation. Much of today's service will be presented by Norma Heiser and other WUF members. Beauty is the theme of today's service. And as I light our chalice, I want to share these words attributed to the Navajo people. Beauty is before me and beauty behind me. Above and below me hovers the beautiful. I am surrounded by it. I am immersed in it.
This book, On the Day You Were Born, tells us all about the day you were born. It is written by Deborah Fraser and with illustrations by Deborah and Joy Chu. The pictures were taken outside in the sunshine and shadows. The book is dedicated to Mother Earth, born 4 billion years ago, and baby Kala, born June 1st, 1988, and for you. On the eve of your birth, word of your coming passed from animal to animal. The reindeer told the Arctic terns, who told the humpback whales, who told the Pacific salmon, who told the monarch butterflies, who told the European eels, who told the busy garden warblers, and the marvelous news migrated worldwide. While you waited in darkness, tiny knees curled to the chin, the earth and her creatures with the sun and moon all moved in their places, each ready to greet you the very first moment of the very first day you arrived. On the day you were born, the round planet Earth turned toward your morning sky, whirling past darkness, spinning the night into light. On the day you were born, gravity's strong pull held you to the earth with the promise that you would never float away. While deep in space, the burning sun set up towering flames, lighting your sky from dawn until dusk. On the day you were born, the quiet moon glowed and offered to bring a full bright face each month to your windowsill. While high above the North Pole, Polaris, the glittering North Star stood still, shining silver light on your night sky. On the day you were born, the moon pulled on the ocean below, and wave by wave, a rising tide washed the beaches clean for your footprints. while far out at sea, clouds swelled with water drops, sailed to the shore on the wind, and rained you a welcome across the earth's green lands. On the day you were born, a forest of tall trees collected the sun's light in their leaves, where in silent mystery they made oxygen for you to breathe. While close to your skin and as high as the sky, air rushed in and blew about, invisibly protecting you and all living things on earth. On the day you were born, the earth turned, the moon pulled, the sun flared, and then with a push you slipped out of the dark, quiet, where suddenly you could hear a circle of people singing with voices familiar and clear. "Welcome to the spinning world," the people sang, as they washed your new tiny hands. "Welcome to the green earth," the people sang, as they wrapped your wet, slippery body, and as they held you close, they whispered into your open, curving ear, "We are so glad you have come."
And now it is my pleasure to introduce longtime WWF member Norma Heiser to begin this morning's exploration of beauty.
Thank you, Kim. I'm Norma, happy to be the instigator of this service, Beauty in the Eye of the Beholder. It is an idea to explore as a prompt. It is born out of my belief that while rage, grief, and loss rein themselves into our environment, they transform emotions into hopelessness. At the same time, experiences of beauty are constantly showing up all around, transforming emotions into smiles, serenity, gratitude. My sons prompt me to use iMessages. I faithfully follow their suggestion now and in writing, conversations, and thinking. It helps me avoid making assumptions about another person. I have asked prompters to see their beauty through their first person. The outcome is perceiving our differences with interest and inspiration. I'm grateful to all the beauty prompters who are generously sharing your thoughts, words, feelings about your truth, and we get to experience your beauty. Thank you. Thanks also to our WWF Tech Angels who have patiently, kindly towed us through this process. May we all get some deserved rest and play.
Ladies, our bodies are beautiful. No matter if you are a plus-size lady such as me, or even an unrealistic skinny girl like this. We are all beautiful. The Creator has deemed it so. Please, don't starve yourself to become like this. Don't gob up your skin cells with chemicals you can't even name so that you can be like this. These are fine, but this should not be the standard of beauty that we all hail to. Let us then walk forth in our natural beauty, in the way that the Creator or the Divine has made us, as a natural woman. We should strive for being exactly who we are. And there's this little song I would like to end with, just a tiny one. So I am sitting here wandering memories, so I can see the beauty of the world through my own eyes. We must see the beauty of within ourselves and without of ourselves through our own eyes. No one can tell you you're beautiful if you don't think you're beautiful. That, to me, is true beauty, the beauty that we were born with.
My name is Elisa Joaquin. My pronouns are she, her, and hers most of the time. My topic is the mask that hides us. Masks, what can I say about them? First, most people are familiar with one type of mask, the physical kind, the kind that you wear at Halloween. A mask can be beautiful. A mask can be ugly and frightening. Even so, this type of mask has one purpose, to hide the face so that the person isn't recognized, just like a superhero. However, there is another kind of mask, and I have worn this mask throughout parts of my life. It's one that can't be seen. It's deep inside, covering up what I call my soul. Where does this mask come from? Well, it comes from when someone says the most ugly and unkind words for the first time, such as ugly, stupid, words spoken with venom designed to hurt. This hidden mask can't be seen. It protects my heart and soul from being injured, and yet, it's very fragile. It will either break at the slightest harm or harden as the hurt continues. This mask can also appear beautiful and hide what is ugly underneath. Or it can appear plain and hide a beautiful soul, fearful to come out. Over time, my mask was like the one that was hardened. It became a shell that was hard to remove. I hid within its protective dark shadow, and yet not quite afraid to let a little light shine through. Like a superhero, I created an identity at times, a void of emotion. And I believed that identity was true, but it wasn't. I mean, I told myself that the hurt didn't matter, when in truth, it did. Soon the mask became me, and my true self had become lost within the mask. The only way to dissolve the mask was through more hurt, through tears, by facing the truth that the mask wasn't my true self. I was hiding behind a mask. My mask was like a predator, protecting and hiding who I was, until someone helped me to rip off the mask, exposing what was underneath. Someone who was hurting and needed healing from all the unkind words that hurt me. I still get hurt from time to time, but I no longer hide it behind that hidden mask. Now I wear a different mask, one that some of you have seen with almost every Friday, fighting for what is right. That mask may cover a portion of my face, but it never covers my true self. Someone who is beautiful and strong and grateful for the hurt, because without it, I would not have regained my true self. And in my own way, I am beautiful. I leave you with this quote to think about the kind of mask you might be wearing. no matter what identity we cling to. It takes a great courage to step out of the old masks we wear and the old scripts that we live by and open ourselves to the mysterious inner core of our being. Blessed be.
Not having an artist's eye, I decided to take my beauty prompt outside the box and say a bit about beauty that isn't necessarily visual, but provokes a similar welling up, or maybe a tickle, or even a hearty laugh. Such moments are elusive and can be hard to capture on camera, so most of my slides may reflect the usual visually inspired wellings more than my narrative. A few beauty surprises. My Sing Portland choir, trying to keep being one. Finally, giving up that hopeless effort, singing to ourselves with each other, and sometimes to each other, on Zoom, remaining a community. The scent of Juliet's fur after a day lazing on the porch, like fresh laundry or the garden. The music that I've been forgetting to listen to and the dance that I no longer do because I haven't found the music to move me. I'd better start looking. Well-designed, practical objects, like my new electric kettle that I resisted getting for almost ever despite replacing so many splattered stovetop kettles. And our wonderful teardrop trailer. My car filled with food staples destined for farm workers who supply us with food but have trouble feeding their own families. Uncontrolled, extended, possibly maniacal laughter that infects me and Carla when we read each other's silly thoughts in a cafe and disrupt the other patrons' screen work or quiet talking. A notion that just maybe we will be polarized into possibility, that the terrifying conflict right here in Portland and just about everywhere could be the eye of a storm that drastically lessens inequality. And that just maybe the, quote, new thought, unquote, thinkers are right in their confidence that we need not worry so much. This terrible phase we're living through is a necessary, chaotic step in our evolution into a revisioned world.
Good morning. My name is Cleone Hawkinson. Daily, Stuart and I walk our trail. We have slowed down these days and have noticed tree bark beauty everywhere. Bark surrounds, expands, ages, peels, revealing unexpected colors. Bark sees all that passes, the days, seasons, years. Bark welcomes visitors, bugs, butterflies, bees, birds, spiders, squirrels, claws, kids. We rest against its prickly shade, time's tracing etched deep, reassuring, sustaining our breath. Inside, a sculpture.
What Our Flaming Chalice Means to Me, by Gary Joaquin. Prior to joining WUF, my wife Alisa and I were members of First Unitarian Church of Portland. Most of the time during services at First Church, we liked to sit in the balcony. We loved the crow's nest view. In 2015, during a summer service featuring former First Church minister, Reverend Marilyn Sewell, For some unknown reason, we decided to sit in seats on the main floor, much closer to the stage than usual. Midway during that service, I became mesmerized by the flaming chalice. I couldn't take my eyes off it. For the rest of the service, I was totally absorbed in its geometry, beauty, and meaning. The dominant element of this design is the circle. Its focus is upon its center. In UU religious context, this center represents that to which we aspire and value the most. In architectural design, the center is often filled by an object, like an obelisk, a statue, or an altar. Such design elements prevent people from directly experiencing the center. They can only appreciate it from afar. When the center remains open, individuals are free to explore and share its transcendence with others. Our chalice is comprised of two circles representing the communities that merged together in 1961 to form our association, the Unitarians and the Universalists. Each circle has its own distinct center symbolic of the different perspectives and beliefs of each community. The bowl of our chalice holds the flame, which is often perceived to be the center of our faith, where the tip of the flame is hottest. If the bowl was designed with a flat and symmetrical rim, then it would obscure the center and block the flame from view. Instead, the bowl is sunken, ever so precisely cradling the flame, enabling its tip to strive to touch the center. Air turbulence and perhaps even inconsistencies in the candle itself cause the flame to flicker, enabling it to touch only briefly any one of an infinite number of centers. The nature of the candle and its flame are similar to human nature, with all of our unique characteristics. We strive for the center, but it is often only in those brief moments of intense clarity that we get a glimpse of it. Our glimpses are always incomplete. We are stronger and more whole as a community if we can appreciate our different perspectives, which together give us a more complete view of the center. This is the beauty of Unitarian Universalism.
Good morning. My name is Denine Mitchell. For me, beauty manifests itself in all of the five senses. Everything around me is heightened and inspired by Mother Nature. This is about reflections on returning to my birth home, the beautiful state of Oregon. I love telling people I am from Portland, the city of roses. I must confess that I have a love affair with the rose gardens. The walkways are lined with every variety and color in the rainbow. They hold a very special place in my soul and in my heart. Mother always told me, never forget to stop and smell the roses. And I don't. Roses indeed make my heart sing. Yummy. My new word for all that is beautiful. And then, magnificent Mount Hood. Anytime we are driving, turn a corner, pop over a hill. Oh, there she is. I gasp. My heart beats a little faster. I grab my chest and utter the words, "Be still, my heart." I take in a deep breath, as she is always a visual feast. Yummy. I missed the trees, standing tall and stately in our forests. I longed for the beauty of the many shades of green created by the sun filtering through the leaves of the trees, and the ferns that graced the forest floor. I missed the beautiful wildflowers that create a kaleidoscope of colors. Orange poppies, the woodland sorrel, blue cornflowers, and the Queen Anne's lace that lines almost every highway. Yummy. And I must not forget the sweet peas. Traveling from Astoria to Brookings down Highway 101 is magical. What beauty lies around the next bend. The Pacific is alive with its never-ending dance, the waves rolling in, losing their color, ebbing out, leaving a lacy white froth at the ocean's edge. The sand is dark, moist and compact. Perfect for building sandcastles. It is cold on my feet as I splash about, enjoying her embrace. And as I scurry away from the surf, the texture of the sand begins to change. The grains become finer, white, and the sun makes them glisten and hot to the touch. Fun in the surf and sand create beautiful memories. Whether overcast, fogged in, or sunny, it doesn't matter. The seashore and coast is always yummy. I always look for inspirational sunsets. Slip into a moment of gratitude for the beautiful day, and contemplate what beauty tomorrow will bring. I am truly blessed to be able to experience all that Mother Nature has to offer. Her beauty provides me with much joy and happiness. She makes me smile. Yummy.
Hi, this is Suzanne Riles. Let's listen to the Claude Debussy flute solo called Syrinx, based on the Greek myth of Pan, who has lost his sheep. As he plays his pipes to call them back, and the music rises, we think of a bird rising through the forest.
Beauty is before me and beauty behind me. Above and below me hovers the beautiful. I am surrounded by it. I am immersed in it. In my youth, I am aware of it. And in my old age, I shall walk quietly the beautiful trail. In beauty, it is begun. In beauty, it is ended.